Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Now I'm back on. Ancient man had a sin-distorted image of God. Their image was that of an angry, cruel deity who thundered in the skies and cast thunderbolts down, wreaking doom and destruction on his creatures. In times of crisis, like times when war was imminent or famine was wearing on, people desperately offered up sacrifices to this scary God in hopes that their gifts might move him to turn their evil fortunes for good. In times that were most desperate, people even sacrificed their children to appease the anger of this God. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." I think my battery's dead, so we'll just carry on this morning, folks. All right. God tested Abraham. Well, there's an understatement in our reading today, isn't there? God tested Abraham. So Abraham had followed God from his former home in Ur of the Chaldees and come to the land of Canaan to live there as a nomad. He fathered a son with his wife's servant girl. He sent them away after the miraculous conception and birth of Isaac with Sarah. And now, God commanded Abraham to take this dear son of his and make of him an offering like those neighbors of his who offered their children to their bloodthirsty God. Was this what God was really like? The thought may have pressed upon Abraham's mind when he heard God tell him to offer up Isaac. But Abraham had a long history with God. No other person of this time had heard the words and promises of God as Abraham had. God's promises assured him of blessing, protection, a family, a home, and a calling to be a blessing to other people. "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." There were times, of course, when Abraham probably struggled with doubts. The land that God showed him to live in was beautiful. But when he arrived, he saw that it was already occupied by many tribes of people living in walled cities, ruled by strong kings. Who was Abraham to challenge the land claims of the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Hivites? On two occasions, Abraham wandered with his household into other lands, Egypt and Gerar. And during those times, he felt so vulnerable, surrounded by strange people, that he convinced Sarah, his wife, to tell everybody that she wasn't his wife, that she was his sister, so that nobody would kill him in order to take her as a wife. Well, on both occasions, God came to the rescue, scaring off the men who unwittingly wanted to take her as a wife, showing himself to be true to his promise to Abraham to be his shield, his protector. The passage of time also tempted Abraham to lose heart and to question God's faithfulness. Abraham, after all, was 75 years old when he arrived in the land of Canaan. Sarah was about 65. Year after year, the couple remained childless. The long wait for God to provide them, to give them a son, wearied Abraham and moved him to pour out his heart before God. "Oh Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them." And then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. The sky full of stars, words repeating God's promise of a coming son, Abraham rested again in God. He trusted the Lord, who spoke to him as a friend. God confirmed his promises to his servant at that time with sacrifice and with a revelation that God would turn over this land now occupied by other people to Abraham's descendants in about 500 years' time. But the passage of time weighed heavily on Sarah too, and it led her to reason that God might fulfill his promise of a son if she allowed her husband to take Hagar, her handmaiden, as his concubine. The pregnancy that resulted led to conflict between Sarah and Hagar, and then, a little later on, Sarah and Abraham. And though Abraham loved Ishmael, his son, God still reserved his right to keep his promise of a son in his way, through aged Sarah, and in his time. And 1 year later, Sarah gave birth to her son of laughter, Isaac. God kept his promise. It was perhaps a dozen more years that passed before God sent Abraham to Mount Moriah with Isaac to be tested. No angry God terrorized Abraham's heart as he set out on that journey with his son. Abraham still believed the Lord who had told him that he would keep his promises through Isaac, Sarah's son. God had never failed Abraham. When Isaac noticed that everything except the animal for sacrifice was with them, Abraham's answer to his fearful son stood firmly on God's faithfulness. "God will provide for himself a lamb, my son." The author of the New Testament letter of the book of Hebrews offers us a spirit-given insight into the mind of Abraham as he bound his dear son and placed him on the altar and raised his knife in order to give his son back to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises was in the act of offering up his own son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.' Abraham considered that God was able even to raise Isaac from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. God is faithful. He does not lie. Not to Abraham, not to you or to me. God promised Abraham that his great family would bring blessing to all the families of the world. It began with another miraculous conception and birth, this one to a young virgin girl rather than an old barren woman. When Jesus reached adulthood and John baptized him, God blessed him and publicly named him with words very much like those with which he referred to Isaac when he spoke to Abraham on Mount Moriah. You are my son, my beloved son. With you I'm well pleased. And 3 years later, Jesus would carry the wood of his sacrifice on his back up the hill outside Jerusalem called Golgotha. And his sacrifice was made. No lamb was provided by God to spare his beloved son from the death on the cross. He was and is the lamb, the only person whose sinless and divine human life could be offered to completely take away the sins of all people. On the cross, we see God for who he truly is. Not that angry, cruel monster in the sky who demands the blood of our children, but the holy and merciful God who gave his son to bring Abraham's salvation to us, to bless all people through him. It is true. Everything God says to us. Through baptism and faith in Jesus, God has given us new birth as his beloved children. That's who we are. He is our Father. He created us. He saved us through his Son. And he gave us his Spirit to teach us to follow Jesus each day of our lives. When we kneel at this altar, it is as if we hear Jesus saying to us, "It is true. This is my body and my blood that you eat and drink together. It is because this is my promise to you. With them, my body and blood, I purchased you for God. I died for you and rose for you, so that you can live through faith in me forever." Now, people around us do have different ideas about God and about life from what we believe. Many don't really give God much thought at all. They mostly try to live life as they think best as much as possible. Others, though, if you really talk to them, they're afraid of God. Or they hate him. They wish that his name and those who believe in him could just be wiped off this earth so they wouldn't have to bother anymore. We live in a situation not so very different from Abraham's. All kinds of people, great, bewildering diversity. Do we trust God and serve him gladly in the midst of this? Do we feel overwhelmed with fear and try to live as secret disciples of Jesus? Abraham did not pass every test that God placed before him. He lied. He questioned God. But God's word always drew him back to the Lord and made him stronger in his faith. And it does that for you and for me too. "It is written" was the victory cry that Jesus spoke when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And it reminds us that we've been given the Word of God to keep us near to the Lord. Take time in this season of Lent to read and remember God's words to you. Thank Him for your Savior, Jesus, and for the sacrifice that He has made for you. Confess your sins freely. Admit your fears to God. Recite His promises and ask Him to keep you true until the time of your testing ends. Because we have His promise that when it comes to an end, it's His face, His smiling face, that we'll see. In Jesus' name, amen.